Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. It's Vicky here, the love coach of the Project Love duo, and today's podcast episode is one that I hope will lift your spirits in this very surreal time we are living in right now. I hope you will forgive any background noise. I've had to pop outside due to having a studio and due to myself and my husband both working from home and him hosting a very loud conference call in the flat. And so I hope that any background noise will be minimal. Hopefully you'll only hear birds singing and not lots of traffic, but let's see. So today's episode is a real love story interview with Nina, who I met back in 2014 when we were launching the pilot for the Get Ready for Love course. Nina was one of the 14 women who Selena and I wrote Valentine's Day cards to invite them onto the journey of getting ready for love. And in this episode, Nina shares the key milestones from her own Get Ready for Love journey and the valuable lessons that she's learned along the way. We celebrate not only Nina's love story with her partner Adam, but also her own self-love journey too, and it is beautiful. I enjoyed this conversation with Nina so much, and I can't wait for you to listen to it. And if you are also wanting to go on your own Get Ready for Love journey, then I am currently offering a discount on my one-to-one coaching program. Now, you might be thinking that this is a strange time to be dating, but with more people at home, dating apps are seeing a rise in usage and messages being sent and a rise in telephone dating and dating on FaceTime. I've actually been having some great conversations with my existing clients about this. I was having some calls with them last week, and many of them have been really enjoying dating virtually and actually finding this to be a much more relaxed way to date. Now, you may not be in the headspace to date at all, and this won't suit everyone, but if you are wanting to stay connected on your dating journey, then give telephone dating or FaceTime dating a try. The Get Ready for Love program that I offer is focused on creating the right conditions for a happy and fulfilling relationship, starting with the relationship with yourself. And so it's a self-love journey and a self-development journey as much as a dating journey. All one-to-one coaching sessions are being hosted on Zoom while we are self-isolating, of course. So if you are feeling like now could be the perfect time to start this journey, then get in touch, and you can get in touch with me on Vicky, V-I-C-K-I, at loveprojectlove.com, or alternatively, you can head on over to loveprojectlove.com/lovecoaching, and you'll find all of the details there. And so, without further ado, here is the gorgeous podcast episode with Nina. I really hope it lifts your spirits like it did mine. I hope you enjoy the episode. Nina, thank you so much for being our guest on the podcast today. I'm so excited that you said yes to sharing your love story with us, and I can't wait to hear it.
Thank you for having me.
So where would you like to start this love story?
So I had to think about when to start, and bear with me because it goes back to 2000. That I'm not going to talk in great length from that point, but it was a really relevant time because that was the year that my mum died, and I was 22 years old, and I suppose I separate that time out. The time before she died and the time after she died is literally like two different periods of my life. So I was one Nina before that. And then when my mother passed away, I completely lost the plot, and everything was turned upside down. And I had to kind of learn it all over again, really, in a way. I didn't know what I was doing. And I suppose from a romantic love point of view, I had up to that point been in a couple of really beautiful, loving, secure relationships. My parents were very happily in love, and everything was all roses. And when my mum passed away, I ended up ending the relationship with my boyfriend at the time. I mean, I was only 22, so it's no biggie. Probably would have ended in disaster anyway if we'd stayed together. But ended that relationship. And then kind of went on a massive journey myself, I suppose, I was at medical school at the time in Manchester. I finished medical school. And then after that, I did my junior doctor training and I went and lived in New Zealand and I traveled in Africa and I traveled in South America on my own. And I had all these amazing experiences and met loads of incredible characters along the way, had some brilliant flings with some gorgeous men. And it was all about experiences and fun. And then I moved to Brighton when I came back to the UK. And then more experiences, more fun, friends, more flings, and all kinds of exciting things, and having, you know, lots of fun and attracting men into my life and having brief sort of affairs, and but all the time thinking, why doesn't this turn into a relationship? Why isn't it turning into love? What is wrong with me? Absolutely sure that it's something that I must have been doing, something that was missing in me. I wasn't good enough, or that I was doing something wrong, or just that I had really bad luck. And I suppose, you know, I look back on it now and I realize that I was absolutely attracting the wrong people into my life, and from the wrong place, really, and then wondering why it didn't sort of suddenly transform into the biggest love of my life or something. But anyhow, I guess it all came to a head in when I was 29. Might have had some relevance with coming up to turning 30, but when I was 29, it all came to a bit of a head, and I just got really depressed, actually, and really depressed to the point where I had to go on to medication, which really helped, by the way, and really sorted me out. But also, that's when I started my huge journey of self-care, really, just really sorting myself out. I just thought to myself, once the medication had kind of got me back on track, I really don't want to be this person that I've been up until now. I want to be a better person, really, and more happy with who I am. And I'm just not really happy with who I am. And so, yeah, I did loads of work on myself. Therapy, and I had the most incredible therapist. And I would recommend it to anyone who's considering it. It just turns your life around to do that, if it's something you're able to do. Went on various courses and things really started to improve, came off the medication, started feeling better about myself. And it's really been like a huge journey from then. And I think that's one sort of piece of advice that I would impart on people, is don't expect things to change overnight. It takes time. Mm-hmm. And you know, years, we're not talking about months here, and it's a slow process. And there's these little moments, these little light bulbs that go off, and these beautiful sort of, moments which make you think, oh, I've really actually come quite a long way here. And wow, I wouldn't have done that before. And part of that journey, of course, was in 2014 when I got involved with Project Love.
Yay.
Because you and Selena, so I knew Selena because I'd met her through Bexy a few years before, who your listeners will know did the last love story.
Mm-hmm.
So Bexy was a friend of mine and I met Selena. And then when you guys were doing the Project Love, starting Project Love and doing the sort of dummy course,
Yes, the pilot of Get Ready for Love.
Yeah. She got in touch with me and she said, oh, we're gonna, this is what we're doing. And, you know, it's for women like yourself. And do you want to get involved, Nina? And I said, yeah, let's do it. So I was one of the first sort of dummy pilot project lovers.
Yes.
Non-paying.
So you were one of 14 who we wrote, I remember this so well, we wrote Valentine's Day cards sitting on the South Bank in London. And we wrote these Valentine's Day cards and you were one of them. Remember, we wrote this card to you to woo you to join our our pilot Get Ready for Love course, which was its first iteration back in 2014. And you said yes. And that's,
yeah.
And that was where I met you.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And that was such a big part of my journey, the Project Love. It was just brilliant. Little pearls of wisdom, and it was just, it's all cumulative. It added onto the therapy that I'd done and just the progress that I was making in general, and really helped me get to a place where I absolutely, truly, fully loved myself. And that took years to get there, but oh, and I should have said, yeah, I mean, my therapy really helped me deal with my mum's death, and that really helped as well. But yeah, it was a process. And I remember whilst doing that Project Love course, little things happening. Like, I was just thinking about it earlier on my way here and, you know, what were kind of key moments. And I remember, for example, there was a moment that there was, okay, so this is a little story. So I had this ex-boyfriend. So over the years, during, you know, the sort of previous sort of decade or so that I've been telling you about, I had a year-long relationship with someone, and which ended in complete disaster. And that's another story in itself. And then we sort of, after time, became friends again. And around about that time, we were sort of flirting with the idea of kind of getting back together. And I thought that I wanted to get back together with him, and he was giving out the vibes that he wanted to as well. And, but he wasn't being committal at all. By the way, I look back on it now and I'm very, very pleased that I did not get back together with this person. And it feels very strange that I was even considering it at the time, but for whatever reason I was, it seemed like a viable option. And, there was a lot of kind of to-ing and fro-ing, and nothing actually happened between us at all, but a lot of hanging out with each other and a bit of flirting and talking about the old days. And, but then, and amongst this, he would be dating other people and kind of leading me on a little bit, but then turning up to parties with someone else. And I can remember during that Project Love journey, just one day just thinking, oh, I'm so over this. I don't need this in my life anymore. I don't actually even want to be with him. And I remember actually and picking up the phone and calling him just randomly, just calling him. And it was a Sunday afternoon and I said, you know, you're right, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm just out with so-and-so. I said, oh, I just want to talk to you. Have you got 5 minutes? Yeah, okay, I'll step outside. So they were in the pub and he stepped outside. And I just said, I'm just ringing to let you know, because I think one of us needs to say it. It's never going to happen, is it? Ever again. And he was like, what? What do you mean? I said, well, come on, you know. And I just said, I just think we need to say, just draw a line under it.
Mm.
It's in the past and it's not going to happen again. The end.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. And like,
it's like you got to that point where you just thought enough is enough.
Yeah.
And also raising your standards as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can do better than this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to. And there was a real calmness about it. There was no need to be like rude to him, although he'd been not nice to me in the past. But there was a real kind of like, you know, let's not make a fuss about this. It's just not going to happen. Let's draw a line under it. And he was obviously taken aback, but he said, okay, I understand. I can't actually remember much of what he said, but, and it was a really sort of quick phone call. I said, all right, we'll see you soon. God, I remember hanging up there and just thinking, oh, Oh, it felt so good.
What was that feeling? I didn't have
anything else in my life going on. It wasn't like there was someone on the sideline. It was just me.
Did it feel liberating?
Oh, yeah. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. You know, because it's so tempting, isn't it? When you've got that sort of flirty, you're single and you've got a little bit of a love interest going on. And it's just like a little sort of, it's a warm blanket, really, isn't it? It's so tempting just to keep it going and to actually say, yeah, it's very liberating and it's just so, just freeing to say goodbye to that, to say goodbye to something that's not serving you anymore. Mm-hmm. And also to get rid of it, but to get back, to be at a point where you don't have anything else.
Yeah. So you've created space.
Yeah.
And that it takes such courage to do, where you create space for something better.
Yeah.
For something that's going to suit your new level.
Yeah, yeah. And there was another example, actually. There was another, a bit later on, another relationship that I had with a guy in Berlin who I met at a music festival. And this was the kind of classic sort of relationships that I had, you know, meeting people who lived in different countries who were completely unavailable, and then wondering why it hadn't worked out, you know. But this man was wonderful and we had a great time together, but he lived in Berlin. I lived here. After a couple of weekends of really lots of fun and great experiences together, it became quite clear that it wasn't really, and but I gonna go anywhere, but I desperately did want it to. And I know that the old Nina would have hung on to that desperately, because it's, you know, it's fun to go to Berlin every few weeks and to have experiences and meet new people and, you know, stay in this beautiful apartment and hang out with this wonderful guy. But it just felt like it wasn't really serving me. So again, you know, I said to him one day, you know, we need to talk, and we just did it by Skype. And I just said, it's not really going to happen, is it? And things were brilliant between us. There was no reason for me to say that. But he was really surprised. He said, I think he had a lot of respect for me. Well, I know he had a lot of respect for me for doing that.
Because I think that comes from you having respect for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So again, you'd reached that point of enough is enough. This isn't serving me. And I know that I want to be in a relationship with someone who wants to commit and who is available, and seeing that this person is not going to be that. And another liberating experience to actually have the conversation and say, it's not working.
Yeah, absolutely. And it felt really good to have that that respect from him as well for doing that. And we ended on really nice terms, and we've seen each other since, and it's been lovely, you know. We've had just a nice catch up as friends. Lots of lessons learned along the way. I think it sounds ridiculous now, and I sort of cringe when I say it, but I really do think that I got a lot of my self-worth through the men who I was dating. So I really thought to myself, well, if I am out and about with that good-looking, kind of exciting man, then that's going to make me look better.
Mm-hmm.
And I now, obviously, I'm so far off that. What I did was I worked on my self-worth coming from within. So I didn't need to get that from anyone else at all. Mm. And when that happens, then you start making completely different choices.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. And the other lesson that I learned as well, I think, was a big one from Project Love, was to be the person that you want to attract.
Mm.
And I think that was something that I can remember Selena saying on one of the lessons.
Yeah.
Was, you know, and sort of, so you want to be, you've got a list of all these attributes that you want in a future partner. Now take a look at yourself and what's going on with you.
Yeah, what are you bringing in?
What you're bringing into it. And I did, and I took a look at myself and I realized, slightly painfully, that still wasn't quite there. There were still bits of me missing. I still was relying on gaining from someone else in a relationship. And then it was like, right, well, I've just got to forget about this and just go and sort myself out, basically. Go and be all those things that I want from a partner.
Mm-hmm.
The excitement and the humour and the experiences. And so, you know, started reading more and going out and doing more interesting things and having more interesting conversations.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you were really on that journey of cultivating that really loving relationship with yourself, knowing that you want to find a loving and fulfilling relationship with another person and knowing that it starts with you. And it sounds like that was such an adventure, that journey of you going and doing things that you love and giving yourself those experiences that you were craving.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so, and I had to learn to also not be impatient about it as well. Because I can remember turning 35 and thinking to myself, shit, now I'm 35, still not in a relationship. But then almost immediately afterwards, thinking to myself, oh, well, things are pretty great actually now. This is really not a big deal. And I remember thinking to myself when I was turning 35, right, okay, the important thing is just don't put any pressure on yourself, Nina, because if you're going to start getting panicky about things, then that's going to be a bit of a disaster. And also, I was really aware of trying to not be attached to any particular outcome. Mm. Like, I must be here by this point and I must be there by that point. And just to kind of let myself be a bit more free. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, and then this thing popped up in my head, like, you're probably not going to even meet the right person for you until you're 38 anyway, Nina. Yeah. And then this number 38 kind of got stuck in my mind, which, by the way, is when I met Adam, weirdly.
Really?
Yeah. But I can't explain it. This number 38 got stuck in my mind. And then for the next 3 years, I just really relaxed. So I can't explain it, but...
So it's like having that sort of reassurance.
But I mean, you know, it might not have happened and that would have been fine. But in my weird mind, I decided that it was going to happen when I was 38 and therefore there's no point even thinking about it until then. And so I just really didn't worry about it and just got on with all the things that I wanted to do in life. So I was working for Doctors Without Borders at that time, and I went to Jordan and worked with Syrian refugees on the border there. And then after that, I went to Iraq and I set up a primary care clinic for internally displaced people in Iraq. And I did these brilliant things, which in a way, I suppose, I didn't think about it like that at the time, made me more into the person that I wanted to meet, which is going back to what we were just talking about. But it was about fulfilling myself rather than waiting for someone to come along and fulfill me.
Mm-hmm.
And those experiences really did fulfill me, definitely.
And that is incredible. I remember Selena and I seeing photos of you when you were there doing work with MSF, and we were just like, wow, she's doing such incredible work. It was so amazing to witness that. How long was that in that period of time? Was it a year?
No, I was in Iraq. I was in Iraq for 5 months, and I was in Jordan for 3 months. So yeah, but I suppose at the time, there was this little voice in the back of my mind thinking, I really should be sort of staying in one place and dating and, you know, trying to meet someone. But then there was the other voice saying to me, well, from all the lessons that I'd learned that I've talked about, that's not going to make me happy. I just need to go out and do what I want to do, what's going to make me happy, and then just trust the process, just trust that things are going to work out, that whatever happens will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's important. And I suppose part of me thought, well, maybe I'll meet someone while I'm away, but I didn't. Yeah, so I came back from my experience in Iraq and, like I say, felt so fulfilled and really happy with the work that I'd done there and met some amazing people. And it was springtime in London and it was really nice weather. And I was so grateful to be back home amongst friends and family, be able to walk out of my front door and walk down the road for a coffee. You just become so grateful for the tiny little things in life that we become, that we take for granted every day, which I take for granted again now every day. But at the time, I remember everything, that first cocktail, that first, you know, oh God, it's just, it's like starting life all over again. It's the most incredible feeling. So I was in a really, I was on really good form. I was in a really good way and felt really positive about myself and excited about what the future may bring, but really not hung up on any outcome at all. Feeling quite open-minded. Had completely forgotten about the 38 thing, by the way. Completely forgotten. Didn't even occur to me. So, and then I thought, right, okay, I'm going to join online. I'm going to do some online dating. Mainly because by this point I'm 38 and a lot of my friends are coupled up and people are doing coupley things and there's less people available to go out with. Still, you know, going out and doing great stuff, but definitely less people available. And I thought it'd be nice to just go out and date and meet new people. And obviously it'd be lovely to meet someone, but I was pretty relaxed about it. And I wrote, so I dipped out of online dating on and off over the years with zero positive experiences, really. I hadn't met one single person who I, you know, saw any sort of future with or even really particularly cared that much about. Some good, definitely good stories to tell, but really I didn't think that highly of online dating. It felt like a bit of a chore, had felt like a bit of a chore before and a bit depressing really, but that's what people do now. That's how you meet people, right? So I thought I've got to throw myself into this. Of course I can still go out and meet people while I'm out and about, but I think it's a numbers game, right? And you really increase your chances if you put yourself online as well. Yeah, I decided I was going to throw myself into it and obviously wrote a fresh profile. I decided to go on Guardian Soulmates because I couldn't bear the swipey swipey. sounds like something that my dad would say. Sorry. But
the swipey swipey ones.
Swipey swipey. Yeah, I just couldn't, I just, no, just swiping
didn't feel right
mindlessly
for you.
Didn't feel right for me. I know that a lot of people meet on Tinder and Bumble and there's nothing wrong with it, but it just didn't feel right for me. And so what appealed to me about Guardian Soulmates was the fact that you do have to put a bit more about yourself on there. Plus I just decided that it rules out every Tory in the country. So I know they're going to be liberal minded if they're, you know, on Guardian Soulmates. So that's a good starting point. And I wrote this profile that was the most genuine, open, honest profile that I have, you know, ever written in all my years of dotting in and out of online dating. That's not to say it wasn't like in depth and it didn't go into like loads of details about me or anything. It wasn't like, but it was just genuine. It was just, it wasn't trying to be, and in the past I'd really look back on it and I realized that I was trying to be something that I wasn't. I was trying to be the person who I thought would attract the kind of guy who I wanted rather than just saying, this is me. And if you're the right guy for me, then you're going to be attracted to this profile.
Yes,
you know
exactly. Yeah,
so
do you remember what things you wrote?
I kept it quite simple because I thought to myself, I remember thinking to myself, I don't need to give my whole life story here. Mm-hmm. Some people do that, right? I remember thinking to myself, I just need to write enough for this to spark a bit of interest in the kind of person who I want to go on a date with.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. It needs to be a starting point, right? So think about the kind of guy who's going to, that I would like to meet. He's going to read that and think, oh, she sounds pretty cool. Let's contact her for a day. He doesn't need to know my life story. I didn't talk about, you know, what I did for a living and all that kind of thing. I talked about music that I liked. And actually, that's the main thing that Adam said that he noticed that attracted him was because there was a lot of matching music taste. Mm. Music that I liked and a couple of books that I'd read and what I enjoy doing. I kept it really simple. I didn't talk about my aspirations in life or anything like that because that comes later, right? That comes on the dating.
Mm-hmm. Did you take, I know that there's a drop-down menu about your work that you can actually have in your profile. Did you decide to consciously take out what you did for a living?
No, I did take there's a box that says medical.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know some clients, they don't want people to know what they do for a living in the first instance because sometimes, you know, they work at a company where it's quite a big company and they don't want to get into the conversation of like knowing people that's like friend of a friend that also worked at that company, or they might just not want to talk about their work. I was just curious whether you sort of decided to not talk about it in your profile and then also sort of not tick a box.
No, because it wasn't like I was trying to hide it. I just didn't want to,
didn't want that as the focus for
that. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And actually, it's interesting you should ask that because in the past, I think I probably did want to hide it a little bit because I found that what I did for a job, being a doctor, intimidated some men. And so in the past, I had consciously removed that detail because I didn't want to put guys off.
Interesting. And some men some men would be, but they're not your type of person.
Exactly. And it's Adam said when he saw my profile, he sort of went, oh, yeah, cool music. Oh, yeah, medical. Oh, yeah, obviously a doctor. Cool. So he just sort of worked it out, really, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, so it wasn't like I was trying to hide it or anything. Mm.
Did you write on your profile that you were looking for a relationship or indicate that?
Yes, definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the same principle as the work thing. I mean, if you think that writing that you want to be in a relationship, you're worried that's going to put someone off, then that's absolutely not the right person for you, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
better to be upfront about it.
Yeah, because it filters out the ones that are not going to be right, because they're not going to get in touch if they're not up for a relationship.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what was your experience like of using Guardian Soulmates?
Oh, God, it's quite funny, actually. So I remember for the first 2 weeks being really enthusiastic and really excited, scouring the profiles, seeing a few guys who I thought, oh yeah, they look pretty fit and quite fun and interesting, and writing. So I wrote because I wasn't sort of embarrassed anymore or kind of bashful in any way. I was quite genuine about things. I wasn't worried about writing to guys and starting conversations. So I wrote loads of messages to loads of different guys. Didn't get one single message back. So I was pretty perturbed, to be honest. I thought, oh, all right then, well, fuck you. And obviously don't know a good opportunity when one comes along. Yeah. That's fine. Obviously not the right one for me. But I kind of, that gets a bit exhausting. So I just sort of left it. And I didn't actually write to anyone for a couple of weeks. And this is the other thing that I noticed as well. I was very proactive. I was doing a lot of writing and I didn't really get much from other people. So I gave it a bit of a break. And then 6 weeks into it, that's when I got a message from Adam. He was the one who wrote to me.
And this was 6 weeks after your break?
Sorry, no, like 3 weeks after my break. So 6 weeks into the whole online dating experience, I hadn't been on a single date yet. My initial enthusiasm had waned a little bit. I was planning to come back to it. But it's funny because I always had it in my mind that I was going to be the one to send the message to the guy that I would have to find the man and bring him in.
Then it's like your responsibility.
Yeah, like it didn't really occur that someone would see my profile. And and it's not, I don't even remember seeing his profile. It wasn't, like there's not that many guys, there's not that many people on Guardian Soulmates in your sort of vicinity, in your area. And I don't really remember. Sometimes you feel like you're going round and round in circles with the same photos, the same profiles. And I hadn't seen his, I don't think. Or I had seen it, but just gone past it. Because his profile photo wasn't that great. So that's a learning point, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just on initially looking at it, his profile photo did not attract me in. It was not, there was nothing standout about it. But then when he wrote to me and I had a look more closely at the photo, I thought, oh, he's handsome. He looks handsome. But it was not a flashy photo or anything. It wasn't, you know, trying to be cool or anything like that, you know, like I suppose the others were, really. Yeah, and it was a really nice message. And so there wasn't any kind of, oh yeah, wow. But I thought he sounds cool and he looks like he could be handsome, but it's a bit difficult to tell from the photos. But I could fancy him, but I don't know yet. And we did that thing where you sort of like texty chat for a bit. And I can remember sort of the first evening that we were text chatting for like an hour and a half straight. And during that conversation, quite early on, when we were talking about music and gigs that we'd been to and things like that, working out that we were both going to the same festival in the south of France.
Really?
3 weeks later.
No way.
And it's quite a niche festival. I think it's only a couple of thousand people. And we were both going.
Wow. So then is that where you sort of met? Is that when you, had you met before you went to the festival?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think at that point, probably for both of us, there was a little bit of, well, this could be amazing or a complete disaster. Let's meet soon so that we kind of know and let's agree that if it doesn't work out, we'll just ignore each other at the festival. So our first date was just a drink after work. And in the couple of days before that, we had been texting quite a lot and the banter was really good. I mean, you could tell that there was, that we obviously got on, we had a lot in common. I really thought that he seemed pretty great and it was very easy flowing and easy going. And I suppose we both knew that it kind of rested on the meeting, whether the attraction would be there or not. It would probably be quite self-evident immediately. So I guess there was quite a lot of pressure resting on that first date in a way. And I can remember walking into the bar and seeing this guy standing at the bar and my heart kind of sinking a little bit. And then I realized it wasn't him. And then I looked over and I saw this other guy, realized it was him and was like, thank fuck. Okay, brilliant. Immediately thought, yeah, he's handsome. I can definitely work with this. This is good. He is not the kind of guy that I think that I would ever normally go for on initial attraction. I mean, this is classic, isn't it? I think this has been a running theme in Project Love, isn't it? Hasn't it? That, you know, you don't, often do not end up with the person that you think you're going to end up with. The fixed idea that you have in your mind. And I think I had quite fixed idea in my mind of what he would look like and how he would be. And Adam is nothing like that. However, I was immediately attracted to him. And so I understand him with me. And yeah, so the conversation started flowing easily as it had done on text, lots of banter, lots of joking around. And I felt really immediately content and secure, and didn't have to put on any airs and graces. I didn't have to try and be cooler than I was, or, and I guess that's because I was content with who I was.
Yeah.
Who I was, but also he made me feel that way.
Mm.
And if he hadn't made me feel that way, then I suppose I would have gone, yeah, nah, this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have seen him again.
Mm-hmm.
So we hadn't made plans into the evening, but one drink turned into another, and then we ended up having dinner. So it was lovely, yeah, and then went our separate ways. And planned another date.
And did
sort
he,
of took it from there.
Did he take the lead in that? Did he, was he the one to say, let's go out again and let's make that happen?
I think it was equal. Again, it was just sort of organic, and there wasn't I remember there wasn't any effort there. But also, the other thing I will say, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all, far from it, there weren't fireworks. It wasn't like I imagined it was going to be when I met the right person for me. And it wasn't like in the past, I'd met men who I'd had relationships with, and it was like fireworks. But they never worked out. It was like, it was a false, I don't know how to describe it really. Mm. It wasn't real.
Mm.
And it was them sort of filling some kind of fixed idea of what I had in my head of, you know, what I wanted in a man. And I suppose the guys that I'd been with before, who'd been, you know, quite non-committal, and, you know, they were just sort of full of charisma and excitement. And that's not to say that Adam wasn't, but he wasn't flashy about it at all. You know, it was just really normal and lovely. And I had a really warm feeling inside afterwards, but it didn't feel like crazy, like, whoa, you know, it's not like I sort of had to ring up someone afterwards and tell them about him, or, you know, I just felt really content in my knowledge of having met this guy. And,
mm-hmm.
and I went home, and it wasn't like I needed to call up friends and go over the date with them and go, oh, I said this, and what do you think? And then he texted me this, and what does it mean? There was none of that. It was just really straightforward.
It just flowed.
Yeah.
I often tell clients that if they have a pattern of attracting unavailable people, and typically, you know, they've been experiencing fireworks and all that excitement because you don't know where you stand with someone, and there's all this mystery around them, and that can feel really exciting, the not knowing, but also really frustrating as well, because you never know where you stand and if you're going to see them again, and etc. And often it's the people where you have a totally different experience, where it just actually feels safe and comfortable and you just feel calm. I often tell clients that's a good thing. If you have a totally different reaction and experience with someone, I think it's an indication, and that person maybe is not reflecting the pattern, you know, is not sort of reflecting that person who's unavailable, who is not able to commit. So it's a good sign, you know, if you don't have the fireworks, and that's like to be celebrated, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, and what I will say as well is, you know, the fireworks kind of die out pretty quickly. And because there wasn't the firework, it gets better every day. And even now, 2.5 years on, I can honestly say that it still continues to get better every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're still falling in love with each other every day, even more. We managed to fit in 3 dates before the festival. And I think we knew at that point that, you know, we enjoyed being together and we wanted to carry on seeing each other, definitely. It's funny because I was more sure than him. And he said that the jury was still out at this point, in his words. he was being cautious. He wasn't 100% sure about me, which makes me laugh when I think about it. But fair enough, you know, that's the kind of person that he is. So we get to the festival. He's with his friends, I'm with my friends, and we meet up on the first night and had a great night. And yeah, the festival's a week long, by the way. So we're all there for a week in the south of France. And it was a brilliant week. It was brilliant, actually. It worked out really well. It was a good mix of him meeting my friends and hanging out with them, me with his friends and hanging out with them, us two together alone, plus our own time. It worked out really organically well. We had our first argument literally on the midweek, on the Wednesday night, which was an interesting one, but talked through it and sort of made up quite quickly. So I suppose you could say that that obviously accelerated things.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to seeing him when we got back to London. It was a nice feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then things carried on from there.
And then was there that momentum that carried you through in those sort of in the early stages of you getting together? Did it keep flowing like that and it just kept building?
Yeah, definitely. It just kept... it's funny because I remember saying to Adam at one point, I suppose relationships happen because you see that person and then you just decide that you want to see them again. You don't want to not see them again. And then so the next one happens, and it's not until... there might come a point where you decide that you don't really want to see them again. But if you keep wanting to see them, then it just sort of grows, doesn't it? And I suppose that's what happened, really. And we gave ourselves the time to get to know each other. And then it really, it organically happened, the point where I was like, okay, yeah, now I think we want to live together now. And yeah, it's just been really straightforward. Like no other relationship that I've had, really. Well, not since I was much younger, since before Mum died.
So it sounds like he was just wanting the same things as you. He was totally ready and available for a relationship like you. And you were wanting to take things to the next level at the same pace. You were totally on the same page.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that it was like that, but that's not to say it wasn't difficult at times. And I've learned so much along the way with this relationship. I've learned that relationships take a lot of work, and even if you can find the person that you're sure that you want to be with and you're on the same page in terms of how you want to live your life and your dreams and aspirations, and that bit came quite easily. We just kind of clicked into place together and we were on the same path. But you're bringing together two fully grown, fully formed adults with their own ideas and thoughts and likes and dislikes, and putting them together. And of course there's going to be difficulties. Of course there's going to be clashes. And having been single for so long, I realise how I'd got a bit selfish, really, in terms of, you know, my needs. It was just myself that I had to think about. And then you're in a relationship, and suddenly when you're in a relationship, you realize that you've got to consider someone else. And it takes work. Like it really does. And also I have had to really kind of re-examine myself and who I am, and in a really good way, actually. I'd say it's really positive. He's a strong character and he challenges me in a lot of ways. And I love that. And there's been times where I've had to face up to some of my faults. You don't really have to do that when you're single, generally, and things are going, you know, you're in your kind of bubble, because...
Because the relationship holds up a mirror.
Exactly. Yeah, it does. And there's been times where I've gone like, I don't know. I did nothing wrong. I did it. Oh, yeah. Okay, now I see it. So the work continues, like, definitely. Yes. And I've learned so much more about myself. Yeah.
And yeah, as you say, the journey continues, that you're still learning, still growing, that self-love journey, self-development journey, that it still continues, that it still deepens, you know, that relationship with yourself.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. One of the other lessons I've learned is to just let things go. Because this is another human being, as I've said before, fully formed and doing perfectly well until I came along 38 years later. And, you know, yes, he squeezes the entire toothpaste tube. Does not squeeze from the bottom, squeezes the whole thing.
Yes, squeezes from the top.
Squeezes from the whole thing. Like the middle.
Whole thing.
Like it's a squeeze. But it irritates the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I can laugh about it now. It doesn't irritate me anymore. But, you know, who cares, you know? Like, he's been doing that his whole life. And, you know, it's quite funny, really. I haven't said... I've decided not to say anything about it when I first saw it.
So he has no idea that you feel this way about the toothpaste.
He does now.
Oh, if he's listening. Hi,
he's
Adam.
Listening. Yeah, it's such a silly little thing, isn't it? And I remember the temptation at the beginning to say something about it when the first time I stayed over at his flat, and it's like, oh my God. But, you know, who cares? It's so silly. And I'm so glad I didn't now, because it's, you know, it's ridiculous. He doesn't need to be told about the way that he squeezes the toothpaste tube. You know, he's fine. He's fine. That's how he decides to do it, you know. And other little things like that, you know, little annoyances. Neither of us really kind of mentions it. We just let stuff go. And it was a bit difficult for me at first to do that. I think I learned that from him, basically. I think because he does that, he lets things go. He doesn't get hung up on stuff. I want to, you know, sort of overanalyze things, and he really doesn't. I suppose that's a typical, quite a classic sort of male, man, woman sort of scenario. But I've had to learn to just let things go, really. Before, I wanted to talk about things all the time, and he didn't. And at first it felt like a sacrifice from my part, but now I realize that actually we don't need to talk about everything all the time. It's just not necessary. And I like that we don't now, you know, and yeah, let little things go. And then half an hour later I think to myself, oh, I'm really glad I let that go, because it's really not a big deal. Don't just, you know, get annoyed by little things and mention it, because that brings me to my other lesson, you know, that respect who that person is and how they do things, how they choose to do things. And they've been doing it for many years before you came along. So they don't need you to kind of like tell them off about little things. And we that's a really great part of our relationship. We just let each other be, really. Early on in the relationship, I felt like we should talk about, you know, things like that, things that annoy him about me, and about that we should be openly communicating about that. And he wasn't so keen on that. But what's happened is it's sort of organically happened anyway. You don't actually need to verbalize it. You kind of course, there's some things that you need to verbalize and communicate. Of course, the communication is key in a relationship. There's no doubt about that. But I think there is a possibility of over communicating.
Knowing when to communicate.
Knowing when to kind of just let things be and respect who that person is and just think, actually, is it that big a deal that XYZ, I can't think of a good example.
Toothpaste? It's funny, we talked about toothpaste on Bexy's podcast as well.
Oh, right.
Yes. Maybe it's
I did listen to Bexy's podcast.
Maybe
but
that's
I think
a real bugbear for people.
I didn't get the end. Was it at the end?
Towards the end.
The other day, he was getting ready to go to work and I was in bed and he spilt a little bit of coffee on the wooden floorboards in our bedroom. And I said, oh, you spilt a bit of coffee. And he took his sock off, wiped the coffee with his sock and then put it back on again.
Put the sock on?
Like, what? Oh my God.
What was your reaction?
Just let it go. Just laughed.
Let it go. Is that like a mantra?
Let it go.
Like really...
let it... I've never even seen the film, actually. But yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a few questions I always ask people on the Real Love Story interviews. And I always love hearing the differences in people's answers. So one of them is, what do you think are the key ingredients of a happy and healthy relationship?
Okay, so I touched on it earlier, and I think a really big one is respect.
Mm-hmm.
Just respecting who that person is and not really trying to change them. I think that's the most loving thing you can do, really, for someone. And personally, and this is something that I have never had in a previous relationship, I would say, honestly, it's the first time I've had it, is to be challenged.
Mm.
And Adam is the most intelligent and well-read and challenging in a really, really good way person I know, really, or let alone been with. And I love that. Like I learn from him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he learns from me as well and in various ways. So I think that's really important. And we have a lot of fun together as well. Keep it really light.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both pretty independent. Just because you're in a relationship, it doesn't mean you have to sort of live in each other's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So we both do our own thing a lot. And, but we also do a lot together, but that's because we want to, because we really enjoy being with each other. And, not because we feel like we have to, or, you know, that's what's expected of the relationship.
Yeah.
Free to do what we want. He's my favourite person to spend time with.
Oh, love that. I think that's such a key point, that individuality and togetherness, like really balancing the two, so that you feel like, you know, you don't have to do everything together.
Yeah.
And like everything that the other one likes. And, you know, you can go off and do your own thing. He can go off and do his thing. But there are times where you come together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember we don't go out that much these days, I suppose, partly because we're older and partly because it's winter, partly because a lot of our friends have got kids now, but there was a friend of mine having a party the other night, and at the last minute Adam decided that he didn't really want to go. He just didn't fancy it. He just wanted to have a Saturday night on the sofa. Instead, he's got a really demanding job, and he just, the lure of the fire and the bottle of red wine and Netflix was just too much for him.
And that pull, strong pull.
And I was really disappointed, you know, because we haven't been out together to a party like with loads of friends for a bit. But I got over that initial disappointment quite quickly, and I just thought, you know, fair enough. If that's what he wants to do, I completely get that. Of course, I'd love him to be there, but I'm not going to push it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was absolutely the right thing to do. You know, and at the party, everyone was like, oh, where's Adam? And so, yeah, he just didn't make anything up. I just said he's just
didn't fancy it.
Didn't really fancy it. He loves you all, but you know,
and is that something that would have bothered you before?
Yeah, I would have thought, well, we're a couple, we should be going out together. What will people think if we're not? You know, people think there's something wrong with our relationship or something. It sounds silly, actually. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really understand why he didn't. I mean, for me, I was really excited about going out and really didn't want to sit on the sofa. But, you know, he's not going to, I didn't really understand it, but he's not going to necessarily want to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, you know.
It sounds like there's such a security in the relationship where things that used to bother you before, you just don't sweat the small stuff anymore.
Yeah, that sort of simple situation could have quite easily have descended into an argument.
Mm.
And then sort of feelings of resentment to each other. Mm. And I'm sure with, you know, many couples would do, and myself in previous relationships in the past might have done. And you know, he's his own person. Does it fancy coming out? Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean anything negative towards me. He'll be up for it the next time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what relationship advice would you give to your younger self with the wisdom and knowledge that you have now?
Okay, so the thing that immediately springs to mind, I suppose, would have been my late 20s and early 30s, where I really felt the pressure of meeting someone and settling down, because that's the time that you start to go to a lot of weddings, people are starting to get married and have kids, and you're starting to think, oh, what's wrong with me? Why is it not happening to me? And I would say to myself then, first of all, don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. You know, give yourself a break. Secondly, that pathway isn't meant for you. And thirdly, just enjoy it. Enjoy it while you've got it. I did get to that point eventually. And I think I said to you on my 35th birthday where I was happy before that, but that was the point where I really gave myself the space to just really relax and not put any pressure on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I wish that I would have got to that point a little earlier. And so I would say to myself, and I said it to a colleague at work the other day who is 31, and he is, he has a great life and is really sociable and lots of friends, and he's quite keen to meet someone. And I just said to him, you've got the whole of your 30s ahead of you. Don't worry about it. It will happen, and it will happen when it's supposed to happen, as long as you just concentrate on having the best life that you can have for yourself. Be kind, be good to other people, enjoy yourself, and it will all fall into place, really. Mm. You can't force these things.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, I think I've mentioned it before, earlier on in the podcast, but this idea of not being attached to any outcome.
Mm.
I learned a really valuable lesson when I was, it was in 2015. My cousin was married to the most wonderful man, and they had two kids and the most incredible life. And it was one of those situations where you just think, that's what I want. That he was the ideal sort of man. He was the kind of person that I wanted to be with. They had a great marriage, great kids, and beautiful house. And that's something you really aspire to. And tragically, he was killed in a car crash back in 2015. And apart from that heartbreak that was suffered by my cousin and the kids and the rest of our family, it really occurred to me at that moment, God, you can have it all. You can wish for something. You can wish for that. You can wish for the partner and the kids and the happy ever after. And you can get it. And then it can just be taken away from you, like just like that, in one foul swoop. And it really made me think, God, this happy ending that I've been wishing for, what am I doing? I'm just wasting my time here. I've just got to get on and live my life in the moment now, because what I've got, my family and my friends and so much love around me, which is a huge lesson from Project Love, isn't it? You know, concentrating on, it doesn't have to be romantic love, but all the other love that you have around me. I've got so much I'm going to be grateful for. Got to stop concentrating on must achieve that, need to get there, need to achieve this happy ending. Because, yeah, anyway, when you get it, it could either tragically be taken away from you, or you get it and you realize that it's not everything you wanted it to be. And it's a huge disappointment. So I think really not getting fixed on an outcome and taking it as it comes and trusting the universe in a way is definitely the way forward. And that really helped me.
Mm. It sounded like you focused on different sort of like metrics of what a happy and fulfilled life looks like, and not focusing so much on what it is on the outside, and focusing actually on what it is, what it feels like on the inside, and go and use that as your compass, use your feelings as your compass, and really cultivate that happiness and fulfillment within. And you're already feeling so happy and fulfilled when you met Adam, and it's like now you get to share that happiness and fulfillment with someone else who's also happy and fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how it is. Yeah.
Oh, Nina, it's been such a privilege to hold space for you to tell your story today. And I really thank you for your generosity and what you shared today on the podcast. I love that when I met you in 2014 and, you know, we started off, you started the Get Ready for Love journey with us. I love that it started with that Valentine's Day card, you know, back in February, Valentine's Day, February 2014. And how we're now sitting here in 2020 celebrating your real love story and all that you've learned along the way. And I really thank you for telling your story. And thank you so much for being our guest on the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Vicky. Thank you for everything Project Love has done for me. You've been a real big part of the story, and thanks for having me today.
For listening to the Project Love podcast, we really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.